She's like, well, if we're going to do mountains, let's do North Carolina instead of Tennessee. So we looked at Asheville. Asheville's pretty restricted of where you can have a short-term rental. And so we kind of crossed it off the list, started looking at other places, and then eventually came back and we're like, look, if we're going to do it, let's do it in a place that we want to be. We'll just figure out the restrictions. So we actually talked to a real estate agent on Sunday, or I think emailed her on Sunday, talked to her on Monday. Tuesday, she sent us a house. Wednesday, she did a FaceTime. Wednesday morning, she did a FaceTime, like showing of it with us. Wednesday afternoon, she took a property manager to see it. And that night we had an undercover.
Welcome to the Physicians and Properties Podcast, the show where we teach you how investing in real estate can give you the freedom to practice medicine and live life how you want.
Doctor!
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 Now, here's your host, Dr. Alex Schlow.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Physicians and Properties Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Alex Schlow, and I'm so glad that you're here with us listening to another episode. Today's episode was a little bit different. Instead of talking about all the real estate successes someone has, my friend Adam Broussard, who is a pediatric anesthesiologist, Dr. Adam Broussard, is coming on the podcast and talking about some struggles that he's had and some difficulties he's had with real estate investing. In this episode, Adam gets really candid talking about how he bought the short-term rental property, which on the outside sounded like an amazing deal, but unfortunately on the inside turned into an absolute nightmare, in which the renovation cost that was supposed to be roughly $50,000 to $60,000 ballooned into close to $700,000. So you're going to want to listen to the podcast all the way through to learn what happened during Dr. Broussard's journey, and hear his thoughts on how you can avoid making the same mistakes in the future. So without any further ado, please welcome my guest on the podcast today, Dr. Adam Broussard. Dr. Adam Broussard, good to have you on the podcast. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Alex. Happy to be here. Yeah, doing well.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, glad that we got to connect through Doug and some mutual friends, and excited to have you on the Physicians and Properties podcast. How are things going in New Orleans?
A little crazy this week. It's Mardi Gras down here, so you might hear a bit the revelers passing by after the parades, but it's been good
stuff, man. Well, thanks for taking some time away from the party to hop on the show. you're a peds anesthesiologist, correct?
That's
awesome,
right.
Man, do you mind sharing a little bit with the audience kind of about your journey into medicine and so forth?
So I actually wanted to be an anesthesiologist since I was like 7 years old. I had had a couple, you know, minor ENT procedures and whatnot, tubes and adenoids and all that kind of stuff. And had actually a nurse anesthetist that I later worked with asked me if I wanted Ninja Turtle gas or banana gas. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So from then on, I wanted to be an anesthesiologist.
That's awesome. Which one did you pick?
Ninja Turtle gas.
Got you.
So, you know, through elementary, high school, whatever, right before college, I started working in the operating room in like pre-op and recovery. Like I said, I worked with that CRNA at the time, and I was in orthopedics and ENT surgery. So was with a lot of kids coming through the hospital I was working with, and just kind of got drawn to that. I ended up as a philosophy major, started off with political science, changed to philosophy, but always pre-med, knew I wanted to just do something different along the way because the rest of my life was going to be science. So went through, actually did get in the first year since I was a philosophy major and had just done basically the prereqs, took some more sciences, and got in the second year. Went through, you know, shooting for anesthesia, was the anesthesia interest group president, whatnot, started residency, and actually didn't do my PT anesthesia for a while. So applied for an ICU and cardiac fellowship first. And by that point in time, I had actually done my peds anesthesia fellowship or resident rotation and decided, nope, not going to do this. I want to do peds. So while I was on the interview, I actually went and talked to the peds fellowship group and like was filling out my peds stuff. So ended up interviewing and doing my fellowship in Pittsburgh. And then I worked at the University of Oklahoma for about 3 years and ended up being assistant fellowship director and then fellowship director each for a year of the 3 years. And now I'm back in New Orleans. Once our older son was born, we got a little bit closer to the family. Been here for about 5 years now.
That's awesome, man. What a cool journey. Do you still use the Ninja Turtle line when you're going to offer kids gas?
You know, I don't. I think they kind of know about it now, but we don't have as many scents that we can offer. My last two jobs, we had scents that we would put in there, but occasionally we'll do stuff here. Not as often.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. Well, that's cool, man. Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I also interviewed a peds anesthesiologist last night, and I think you two are the only peds anesthesiologists I know. So it's kind of crazy to have, you know, two people on the show who are invested in real estate and, you know, just crushing it as peds anesthesiologists too. So that's awesome, man. Yeah. So tell me, if you don't mind, let's kind of talk about your real estate journey. I know, you know, we're going to take this episode a little bit differently and kind of talk about some struggles that you've had with real estate, which I think folks will be able to learn a lot from. And thank you for being willing and open to kind of talk about some of those things. But how, you know, kind of talk to us about how you got started investing in real estate and what that looked like for you.
So toward the end of 2019, the way I'd been like aggressively paying student loan, kind of started trying to figure out what was next, what I was going to do when I wasn't paying on student loan as much as I was. So I was projecting to be done paying them kind of summertime of 2020. So I started looking into real estate, joined Bigger Pockets, listened to, you know, some of that. And that was kind of right about the time that Lenny and Kenji started doing their course. So I think I ended up doing that. I think it was one of the first or second like cohorts of it. So I got really excited that my wife was going to be a real estate professional and all that kind of stuff. She was less excited about that. But in the between signing up for and starting, we found out we were pregnant for my second son and COVID came. So she got even less excited about that. So did that, but decided that really wasn't going to be the path. Like I said, we had been in Oklahoma City before. We're looking to kind of invest there. So we're looking at that, just kind of an excuse to go visit friends and stuff too. And, you know, once COVID, we're like, we're not traveling to do that. Started kind of looking more into like syndications and stuff like that. I made an investment in a syndication like summer of 2020, a multifamily syndication in Phoenix. Then kind of about the same time is when I started diving a little bit more into taxes, became a real big tax nerd and learned about the short-term rental like loophole. So we ended up buying our first property just via FaceTime showing. My wife's originally from North Carolina. So this was like before Smokies and stuff, Smokies were really big. I'd found it and I was like, yeah, let's do the Smokies. I think it's going to do well, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, if we're going to do mountains, let's do North Carolina instead of Tennessee. So we looked at Asheville. Asheville's pretty restricted of where you can have a short-term rental. And so we kind of crossed it off the list, started looking at other places, and then eventually came back and we're like, look, if we're going to do it, let's do it in a place that we want to be. We'll just figure out the restrictions. So we actually talked to a real estate agent on Sunday, or I think emailed her on Sunday, talked to her on Monday. Tuesday, she sent us a house. Wednesday morning, she did a FaceTime like showing of it with us. Wednesday afternoon, she took a property manager to see it. And that night we had an under contract.
Man, that's quick.
So we did it really quickly. The property manager had made some suggestions of like how they would improve the property, but they, you know, really liked the property. So the restrictions in Asheville is you can't rent within the city limits. I knew we were close to the city limits, but I actually didn't know for about a year and a half after we bought it that literally our next door neighbor was inside.
Oh, wow.
Like 100 feet away. So luckily our real estate agent's husband was a general contractor. We did a major renovation. We rented it out. So we closed like end of November, rented it out, did all the 100 hours, did all that, and then shut it back down the beginning of January, did a renovation, added two bathrooms, added close to the garage, redid the other bathrooms. So it went from a three bedroom, two bath to a four bedroom, four bath. And it, I guess, about 4 or 5 months, and then launched it. It's done great since then.
It's awesome.
had a great experience. Like I said, the contractor was the husband of our real estate agent, like talked to him daily, sent us pictures daily, FaceTimed, like we knew everything. Every last thing was happening. It was during all of the COVID craziness with like supply chain stuff. So we kept having to wait for furniture, having to wait for materials and stuff. Materials were more expensive, but all in all, it went really well. And then it rented and didn't stop.
That's awesome.
So we've yet to have a month that we haven't like made a profit.
That's awesome.
Like, we've covered the mortgage every month.
That's awesome, man. Was it difficult managing a renovation from afar? I'm assuming this is kind of like the first major renovation you've done or did.
So this he was hands-on. So he was there every day. Like it was him and two or three guys and his crew. I think he subbed out the electrical and the plumbing. So like everything happened with him. So it was really good experience. Like we had no issues. Like I said, other than supply chain stuff, like we felt very comfortable with it. So maybe too comfortable. So that we're New Orleans, it's in Asheville, North Carolina. So it's about 10 hours from us. We went up, I think toward the end of it, just to get some stuff straight. Like I think we're waiting on some stuff with the decking and the glass for the showers. But, you know, everything else was pretty much done at that point in time for it to live in a couple weeks later once all that was in. But, you know, we weren't there other than pictures and FaceTimes. And it went great.
That's awesome. Did you guys do the classic, like show up and you have 50 Amazon boxes waiting for you to unpack and get settled in?
It wasn't terrible. We had an interior decorator there, so she had done a lot. We actually had to bring a lot of it with us. We had it delivered to here because when we bought it, we had actually had a bed shipped there. And to this day, 3.5 years later, we don't know where that bed and mattress are.
Gosh.
So Amazon is not a fan of delivering to this house, and it doesn't. So we haven't had all. We had stuff either delivered to the property manager's office, which they weren't a huge fan of either. But they did a lot, and then our interior decorator had people to help do stuff too. Yeah, we bought it furnished too.
Yeah, definitely.
So we didn't use any of. We didn't keep any of it, but it had stuff to start with.
Our first short-term rental that we bought was in LJ, Georgia, in the mountains there, and they said they were selling the house fully furnished, and we showed up and fully furnished meant like they left all the really crappy stuff and took whatever they want. And we're like, oh, okay. And we ended up same thing. We ended up not using hardly anything, but it's funny how that works. Do you have any tips for someone who's looking to get started investing in Airbnbs or short-term rentals from afar? Anything, you know, that, or even managing renovations from afar? What are some things that you learned that were helpful?
Well, I think the bigger learning comes on the next.
Agreed.
Next slide. That one all went great. You know, I think having that contractor be like hands-on was very helpful rather than a general contractor that is subbing everything out that you're dependent on them monitoring the subs. I think that can be variable.
Yeah.
Having somebody boots on the ground, like outside of that, I think would be very helpful, whether it's your handyman or cleaners or real estate agent or whatever, whoever can, or neighbor or anybody that can like go take pictures and make sure that things are really happening. Yeah. Having a contract, having a scope of work, like having some type of agreement, I think is necessary, and a kind of a plan as to how long everything will take. And if it's not done at this period of time, like some type of financial or some type of penalty.
Yeah, absolutely. What about, you guys are using a property manager, right, for this property? Yeah. How's that going, if you don't mind me asking?
It can be a love-hate relationship sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I have surrounded myself with other physicians doing short-term rentals and stuff like that. Some of the stuff that they have dealt with, I don't want to deal with. But I know they are putting more attention on their properties than I know that the property manager is putting into my property. They have 100 other properties that they're managing. So I think we do have a really good property manager that goes in once a month, checks everything, said the detailed report, like afterwards, like changes batteries, changes light bulbs, changes like tightens anything, these doorknobs every month, like kind of thing. But like, I don't think they're, you know, going and changing the picture surround an Airbnb or changing, you know, whatever the description once a week or messing with pricing and stuff like that, maybe would be doing yourself. So probably leaving some money on the table, but it's nice to just get a check once a month.
Yeah, for sure. We self-manage ours, us and two partners. And yeah, definitely a lot of times where I'm like, oh gosh, just to be so nice just to have a property manager. And it always seems like when it rains, it pours. Like over the last couple of weeks at our Colorado property up in the mountains, this geodesic dome we have, like the hot water heater stopped working and had to be replaced. The oven stopped working. I mean, it just, the power went out like in the middle of a snowstorm and the generator didn't kick on. You know, it's always something. And it seems like, it rains, it pours, and then you don't hear anything and everything goes smoothly for a couple months. And I think important too to have, you know, if you're going to self-manage, have plenty of systems in place, boots on the ground, like you said, a really good cleaner that you can trust, handyman, et cetera, is really important.
And I think people are less inclined to really complain with some type of professional management. Yeah. You know, hearing other friends of mine that are self-managing, that, you know, people will say, oh, there's a spot on the dish or the glass or whatever, or we found dust somewhere, whatever. Like, I want a discount or I want whatever. As far as I know, like, our refrigerator went out on Thanksgiving year.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't have a refrigerator for the next 4 days. They brought them like one of those college dorm fridges. And I think they gave them like $100 back.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
I got a phone call at, you know, Thanksgiving night and be like, hey, your fridge is out. But thankfully, Black Friday had a
perfect timing.
I ended up getting a whole new, you know, a kitchen worth of appliances. Now we plan to do like upgrade the appliances.
Might as well do it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think the other thing that I found too, even for this, like we had this kind of hot water heater saga happened over three different stays because they ended up like bringing one that was too big and wouldn't fit in the spot. And then, you know, some connection didn't work. And then they didn't realize that there was a switch on the fuse box that kept getting tripped with the new hot water heater. And it was just one thing after another, after another. And we were just really, you know, honest with the guests. And we told them ahead of time, hey, we're having issues with the hot water. It should get taken care of. These are, you know, this is when they're coming to fix it, blah, 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 blah. And believe it or not, we had three guests that stayed over this time period and they all gave us 5-star reviews. And we didn't deserve it, but we were very forthcoming with them. We offered them a discount. When it didn't work the third time, we were like, hey, we'll put you in a hotel for the night if you want to. And they're like, no, it's fine. We're having fun, you know? And so I think that's, you know, it was a good lesson for us to learn that like the more you communicate, the more you're upfront and honest, and the more you're like trying to fix the problem, people are typically pretty upset. But we've definitely had our fair share of guests that you're just never going to be happy no matter what you do. And those are frustrating and make you kind of wonder why. Well,
one thing with the launch of that one, literally the weekend that the house was supposed to be launched, a bear attacked our hot tub cover. Jeez. They put it back. 2 days later, the bear like took it down the mountain. So I ordered a bear resistant. Apparently the way that the sun hits the pleather on these hot tub covers, like it attracts bears. So I was like, okay, well, I'll get one that's not made of this. Like I said, this was early 21. So it took from May until Christmas for it to come in. It was supposed to take like three or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had in the first 6 months of it being open, like it just had a torn up cover on the hot tub. I think we put a cover on top of the cover just to make it look a little bit better. But I mean, people had to have seen it. And no one ever said anything about it as far as I know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What do you, if you don't mind sharing, what do the numbers look like for that home and purchase price renovation? What are you guys like roughly netting each month, if you don't mind?
So we bought it for $545, I think. We spent about $125 between renovations and furnishing it. And I know 2020, we did like $110,000. Nice. And then this year we did like 92 or 93 in 2023.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And that was we didn't use it in 2023, but in 2022, we were there for like two weeks.
And still over six figures.
During the summer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy, man. You know, and it's probably, I would guess probably netting a couple thousand a month on average, you know, after paying property manager and repairs and so forth. That's awesome. Man. Just for one house. It's good stuff, man. That's the power of Airbnbs and Airbnbs done right too. You can really just generate so much cash flow with them. That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the next one.
So we got confident and everything went great with this one. Like it started running immediately. So we finished it in May, started raining in basically Memorial Day weekend. We actually were like, okay, well, now we got a mountain house, so let's look for a beach place. So started kind of looking around. You know, we're in Louisiana, wanted something relatively close to us. 30A is the big, you know, thing everyone goes to, but those prices are so crazy. We're like, that's not even worth it. We felt Destin was too crowded in general. Like it's just... when we've been, like, it just wasn't fun. You just sit in traffic.
Yeah, waiting on the bridge.
So we actually took a trip to Mexico Beach area. So it had been hit by a major hurricane, like 2018, I think. And it was still pretty devastated when we went in summer of 21. We looked around. We went and looked at like Cape San Blas area, like that just general area. I think they call it the Forgotten Coast. Really liked it. We found a couple of ones that we were interested in. And honestly, we had problems with our real estate agent, like that we were dealing with. And just like we wanted to make offers and he just wouldn't respond to it. Well, I guess it's not meant to be, like, which I think the ones we had looked at are probably twice as what they were at that point in time. Yeah. So would have been good investment. But one of the ones we looked at was brand new. One was going to need a big like renovation. And one was like more like a townhouse type thing that looked pretty good. But they are not remote. Like when we were driving around, you didn't have cell service, but it was quiet, like areas were nice and relaxed. But it ends up being like 6 hours from us. So we're like, that's just not like, that's a little too far if we're going to actually use it too. So I grew up going to like Orange Beach, Alabama, Gulf Shores and like Perdido Key area and in Florida. So kind of turn our attention there. A lot of people were buying in Fort Morgan area, which wasn't an area I particularly was interested in, but they were doing well with it. So I was like, well, let's just take a look like in where I've been, which mostly is condos. And I really wasn't interested in looking at condos, but we had kind of September of 21 ended up coming across a house, talked to a friend of mine that was at the Navy base down there. And I was like, hey, he was doing a lot of real estate in the area. I was like, do you have an agent that you know, recommend? So she went and I think like Tuesday or Wednesday did like a FaceTime interview, like FaceTime showing with us. Ended up being an older couple that it was their primary resident. The husband and his prior wife had built it, raised their kids there. Randomly, the guy I got the real estate recommendation from had lived two houses down in like the mother-in-law suite of the house down the street. So he knew the area, liked it. But the agent, she did the showing with us and the sellers didn't leave for the showing. So they were around and she's like, okay, I'll give you a call back when I leave. And it was like an hour and a half later. So she talked to the sellers for a while, like apparently afterwards, we found out that it's on a 0.4 acre lot, but it's like offset. So we didn't know that like there was essentially a second lot part of it, you know, at the initial showing. So she had talked to him about that. Like, I guess she had told him about us and, you know, they liked her. So we're like, well, we'll drive down this weekend. We'll come see it. And they got an offer that Friday when we were going to see it Saturday. And I guess they had called our agent. They're like, look, we like the story. Like it was a cash offer. Like we want to wait for y'all to make an offer. Whether this is true or not, who knows? But this was the story. So we went to see it. We like the house. It's actually in the middle of a state park. So the backside of it, like, overlooks a bird sanctuary in the bay. It's on an island. And then it's like two houses from 2 miles of state park beach.
That's awesome.
With a private like walk for like our street, basically. So like since buying it in 2021, like when we've been out there with the house and stuff, like at most there's like one or two other families on the beach.
That's awesome.
Like in the area. And like we've been there Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend. It's an amazing place.
It's gorgeous there.
So we, you know, submit our offer. He ended up choosing us over the other offer. Talked to the county, and there is an endangered beach mouse on the island. So there's the potential to build on it. But so that was 2021. You could only apply. There was only so many permits every 5 years. And the next time you could apply was 2024. So we knew we had time before we could even consider building. So we're like, okay, well, we'll get it up and running. Make some money and we'll be able to then build a second structure and we'll have two. Like, so digging into more of that, found out that we could build on it if we didn't subdivide, but we couldn't get a permit unless we subdivided. So that kind of got met, but we talked to attorneys that thought they could make it work. So kind of same thing. We asked after we got under contract, we asked our real estate agent if she had any, you know, solid contractors, like just we wanted to do some cosmetic stuff. She immediately had a recommendation with someone she had used multiple times before for various things. Like I said, it was built in 1990. It hadn't really been updated since then. So it had like 8 different wall colors and like 7 different floorings in it. Lots of murals of birds. It had clouds and stars on the ceiling in the bathroom. And it needed to be, it was kind of the yellow color.
Yeah.
Shower inserts and stuff like that. So we just wanted to paint the whole house one color and put LPV throughout the house and just kind of general update. We were going to put a pool in. So the contractor started like a week or so after. Supposed to take 1 month. They did demo and they had quoted us to, like I said, take out insert shower and put a new one in. They demoed it without making sure that was a possibility. And then like the flooring in the kitchen had LPV down already, but it had parquet floor under that. So instead of just taking the LPV down, they ripped out all the parquet floor also. So then the floor wasn't very level, just repeated. So ended up all the showers had to be tiled because there was no really other option. The LPV went down. It was kind of a mess. They were supposed to be retiling the fireplace and they just put tile on top of the old tile. The LPV didn't meet the walls and then they just put caulk where it didn't meet the walls. There was a lot of just kind of suspect things. And like what was supposed to take 1 month took 3 months. And they're like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
And I get there. We kept going to like get it set up.
Mm-hmm.
And we show up and it was a construction thing. And at the time we had, I guess, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So we promptly would leave. And we're like, this was going to be a lot easier because it's 3 hours away. We can go by and do stuff. And so, you know, the original cost got higher and higher and higher as things changed. You know, the timeline kept getting longer and longer and longer. And finally we got there. We're like, what? This isn't acceptable. And actually, I think one of your other guests that it's been on, a friend of mine, we rode down there to meet with that contractor and then interview new contractors. You know, was supposed to correct wrongs. And I'm like, I don't know that I want you correcting the wrong since like you clearly couldn't do it. And in the meantime of doing this renovation, the contractor moved here to New Orleans.
Really?
So I was like, you would think they wanted to do a really good job. So I would refer them new people here. Guess that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So we had to hire, like having to redo everything.
Yeah.
So going back to having a contract and a timeline and people to check in on, like, that is things I wish we had. So then we hired someone to come in, redo the floors, redo the bathrooms, did a great job. We were waiting on some of the painting to happen and ended up when he was basically finishing up, we had the summer booked pretty much. So May 16th, which happened to be my birthday, we get a text from him, from the flooring contractor. And he's like, look, you've got some big problems here. I was like, oh, great. Like, this is exactly
happy birthday.
I wanted for my birthday. So he's like, I don't know what's going on, but the ceiling in the den is sagging. The floors in this, the floor above the garage ceiling was sagging. The floor above the garage and the den, like, he's like, this, there's a major slope to it. I don't know what's going on, but he's like, I don't think it's good. So then I think I got a structural engineer to come out the next week. In the meantime, he kept working on what he could work on. The staircase going from the second floor to the bottom floor, he was working on those stairs and he pulled up the subfloor. Like when he was trying to do stuff, it was just going straight through. Pulled up subfloor and there was nothing underneath, essentially. Okay. It had all been eaten by termites.
No.
So we got, you know, a structural engineer to come out. They opened up the ceiling in the garage and lots of termite damage, lots of water damage and attempts at repair, apparently. So ended up finding, he's like, I can't do anything with this. You need to get a, I guess in Florida, there's three levels of contractors. He's like, you need the highest level. So start calling around. I guess we found the termites. We were actually at Disneyland at this, or Disney World at this point in time that I'm getting all these phone calls. Called around. We have, so this is like May 22nd, 20, and our first guest was arriving June 3rd. So structural engineer comes out, basically tells us there's all this termite damage, all this water damage. There is attempted repairs, old repairs. We end up having a contractor come out. It does kind of a general inspection. They end up taking all the sheetrock down and it's just everywhere like this. So cancel the first few reservations through June, basically from what he could see, expected to be a month or so. Gave me a 50-50 chance of it being done. And, you know, had to take all the siding down, like all, and just kind of as they worked, they just kept finding more and more and more. So this, like I said, this was May of 2022. At this time, we are still working on, they are painting the exterior as of last week. So we missed, you know, 2 years of rentals because of this. And what started off as a like $20,000 cosmetic rehab is, if you include installing the pool, about $700,000.
Oh my gosh, Adam. Man.
So the repairs, so redoing the stuff from the original contractor was another like $70,000, just like redoing what she had done. Wow. So, and then I think we're at about $450,000 on the termite and water damage repairs. So it's been quite a, you know, adventure in the past 2.5 years. Lots of talks with the banks and finding new and interesting ways to find new money, pay unexpected few $100,000. And, you know, even with, so opposed to our general contractor in North Carolina, this one is more of, you know, a real standard general contractor that is subbing stuff out. So, you know, I think partially was us trying to push to get stuff done so that we could rent it and him trying to find crews that were available to do stuff versus his preferred crews. Like some things have taken longer than others. Some things were, you know, needed to be fixed from one crew to the other. I think there's been some lack of communication there about timelines and what's going on and stuff like that. We had a lot of, oh, it'll be ready in a week or two. That way it could be ready in a week or two. So we actually had gone under contract to sell it off market back last September to one of the neighbors who actually is a physician couple, husband of a physician that has a lot, multiple other in the neighborhood. and ended up having, you know, some issues with insurance and banking and whatnot. So I actually canceled the contract the day before closing. Wow. So we are now back under contract as of about 4 days ago. Man. So hopefully this will be done. We currently have a pending lawsuit against the seller. Like I said, this was a primary residence that he built.
Yeah.
And it wasn't disclosed on the seller's disclosure.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that, I mean, I think that'll be another couple of years potentially, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask about that. If the seller's disclosure mentioned anything, we had a not nearly as catastrophic situation, but that house in Georgia, we closed, we got to the house and we walked in and there's just water in the basement and clearly had water damage previously. And then on the disclosure, there was, it said minor leak repaired like 8 years ago or something like that. And it was similar, man. It was one thing after another. And there was flying squirrels in the attic tearing things up and chewing wires. And the septic inspection looked good, but turned out the whole septic needed to be replaced. I mean, it was just one thing after another. So I know how you feel, just not to the same degree. You know, it sucks, man. And it happens, you know, these things happen in real estate. Yeah. And, you know, the things that you learn going forward are helpful. And I'm sure you're going to get a termite inspection every time and probably harp on the seller a bit more to try and figure out, make sure that that's going to be.
So we had a termite inspection, like we had a house inspection, and we're actually lucky that we were in Florida and not Alabama, because Alabama is a buyer beware state.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we would have had no recourse, potential recourse in Alabama. So literally 2 miles down the lake, like, this would all be on us.
Could you, after the termite inspector too, or lawsuit against them, or?
So there was nothing to see. I mean, it was from 2000.
Oh, I see.
Like, there was no live termite. Yeah. The damage was from 2005.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just a matter that we opened up the wall and then it wasn't repaired well. So water was getting in. So had we not done any of this renovations, we probably never would have found it. So, and like I said, the first contractor didn't find it, the second one. So had that one not done a poor job and required us to get a second contractor, it probably wouldn't have been found either. Yeah. So we would have, you know, probably been renting it and who knows what would happen, like whether people would have been there and ceiling fallen or something. Like, I'm glad nothing catastrophic happened while the customer's there or something like that. I don't know. You know, we probably wouldn't have found it until there was hurricane damage or something. But as, you know, to add insult to injury, our insurance went from $6,000 when we bought it a year. They canceled us because the seller had a pending lawsuit against his prior insurance company. We had a new insurance company. And they came out to do like an inspection while the second time we were putting the flooring down. So they dropped us because they said there was ongoing renovations while tenant occupied. Like, I wish it was tenant occupied, but not. So we ended up with Prosper, our proper.
Yeah.
So we went from 6,000 to 9,000 to 17,000. And then on renewal, went to 26,000.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The insurance in Florida is just unbelievable. We still have our long-term rental when we're stationed at Eglin Air Force Base right there near Destin. And our insurance quadrupled from year to year from 22 to 23. It's just crazy. Yeah. It's just tough, you know, with the hurricanes that are hitting there. And apparently a lot of the insurance carriers are pulling out of Florida because they were getting hit hard, of course, with all the claims. And it's just rough. Florida, it made it difficult to invest in Florida for a lot of people because you just, you know, insurance quadrupling, you're really hitting your cash flow, especially long-term rentals. So luckily we were able to find some other options and we ended up replacing the roof because it needed to be replaced anyways. We were just hoping a hurricane was going to hit and then it was going to get paid for, but that didn't happen. Yeah. So we replaced the roof and then insurance went close to back down to where it was. But it's something, man. It's always something. But what are your thoughts on real estate investing in the future?
So I'll probably pause for a minute. Like you said, we're selling it at a big loss. Yeah. So we're going to cover the primary mortgage and stuff like that. We'll get some cash to pay down some of the lines of credit, but we're still going to have a monthly reminder of, you know, that we'll be paying on other ELOCs and stuff like that. So need to get that squared away a little bit first before we go anything else, but definitely not buying a 30-year-old house. And I mean, I think it will be dealing with, like, I don't plan to do another major renovation right now, long distance. Yeah. If I do, you know, I have to make sure, like, I would potentially do it again in Nashville with that contractor that I know what he did and I know how he's doing it. Great terms with that guy. Christmas cards. When we go to Asheville, we visit them. Like, he sends us like stuff all the time. You know, definitely that in that realm, probably buy more turnkey or brand new or whatnot if we buy again. But I think, I mean, it definitely was a stress to our finances, a stress to our marriage, you know, in general, just kind of dealing with this stuff. So I think it might be a minute before we go to the next one. It might be trusting a lot of my friends that are doing it more professionally and investing with them or JBing with them.
Yeah. That's a great way to do it too. Yeah. Completely understandable. I'm sorry you went through all that, man, but really appreciate you coming on and sharing that story and that journey. And I feel like we talked about before the call, like, you know, oftentimes we're just hearing all the really good things that are happening in real estate. And we don't really hear the struggles and so forth that happens. And, you know, your story is unique. But unfortunately, there's lots of us that have been in a similar situation. And it's always good to hear those stories to remind that, hey, like, there's an end in sight. And also there's some ways and some tips and tricks that you can learn along the way from other people. And it might help in the future too. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. And the new buyer is going to have a great house. It's brand new.
It's basically pretty much brand new. Yeah.
It was completely structurally brand new. It has new body plate siding, impact resistant window, just like a brand new pool. It's going to be a great house for
buyer. Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll give you a free stay or something like that if they use it as a short term rental. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, two questions before I let you out of here. One, how can folks reach out to you? And two, do you throw eggs at the first contractor's house every time you go by in New Orleans?
So the sad thing is, answering the first one, the second one first, we passed, when it was ongoing, she was living down the street from my older son's school. So we literally passed our house twice a day, every day. She moved since then, but yeah, I actually ran into her in a coffee shop once since then and did not acknowledge each other. But we did actually go to Small Claims Court. And so she's paying me like $200 a month for the next 5 years or something, because that was the limit of what I could get. But to get in touch with me, it's adam@adambroussardmd.com. It's probably the best way to get in touch with me. I'm on all the various social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. So awesome. I'm easy to find. Yeah. LinkedIn.
Sounds good.
All the same, Adam Broussard.
Nice. Yeah, we'll include links to those in the show notes. And yeah, thanks again, Adam. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your journey and being open, you know, and sharing with the audience. Really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. No problem.
Yeah. Thanks, well, enjoy Mardi Gras. Nice. With that, it's been Dr. Adam Broussard, Dr. Alex Schlow with another episode of the Physicians and Properties Podcast, signing off.
Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to this, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this podcast is to help 100,000 physicians learn how investing in real estate can give you the freedom to practice medicine and live life how you want. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you can please leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 to 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the physicians that we want to reach. Thanks in advance, and talk to you on the next episode. Please note that the information shared on this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered financial, medical, or medical. The views expressed on this podcast are those of the host and the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Defense or the United States Air Force.